Ishwarpuri was a Ishwarpuri Goswami, he served his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, very humbly and meanly. How so haste kare Bhagavad Mutra Adi Marjan? Actually, Madhavendra Puri
was very old and he was unable to
even go about his nature call. So, he was also old or able to move also. So, Ishwarpuri would help him even by cleaning the spoon and urine. So, in this way, Ishwarpuri Goswami served his spiritual master very, very humbly. Not just that, Nirantara Krishna Nam Karai Smaran, Krishna Nam Krishna Dhira Shudai Anukshan. Continuously, Ishwarpuri Goswami, he chanted the holy name of the Lord and recited Lord's pastimes. And in this way, he helped his spiritual master remember Krishna at every moment. He helped him. Actually, Madhavendra Puri was a very exalted person, always he had the capacity himself to always remember. But still, Ishwarpuri rendered this particular service to his spiritual master. So it's mentioned, Madhavendra Puri was extremely pleased with him. Tushta hai ya puri tare kaila adhikan bharat dhila krishne tomar hokute madhan. So he was extremely satisfied. Tushta hai ya puri, that was Madhavendra Puri, tare kaila adhikan. He embraced Ishwarpuri. Right? Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master, embraced the disciple and just said, may you get wealth of love for Krishna. Right? May you get wealth of love for Krishna. So that were his words. How much wealth he got? Krishna Sarvara Goswami says, Sai Hai Te Ishwar Puri Preme Rasagar. How much wealth of love? He got the whole ocean. You know, wealth which is compared to a huge ocean. Not just, you know, few drops of mercy. We aspire for few drops of mercy of the Lord. Okay. Actually, transcendently, even the Bindu is equivalent to Sindhu. That's another dimension. But actually, he got the whole ocean of the world surged within him. And he became himself the ocean of the God. Ishwarpuri was born. Just by the blessings. Is by the blessings of the spiritual master. So, that is just few words about Srila Ishwarpuri Goswami. So, we will discuss something about that father, Bhishmadev. So, we know that how Vishnudev is the son of Shantanu Maharaj from his wife Ganga Devi, and it was known as Ganga Putra. Now, his actually name, before he became Bhishma, he was known mainly by the name of Devavrata. So, it is said that how Vishnudev, because he was Ganga Putra, Mother Ganga arranged his education from great scholar rishis. He said that Brahaspati taught him to Bhishma the duties of a king and other dharma shastras. Shukracharya taught him the political science. Vasishtha Muni taught him different branches of the Vedas. Sarat Kumar taught Devavrata the spiritual science. Markandeya Rishi taught Vishnudev the duties of a Brahmana. Parshuram taught the science of warfare to Vishnudev. So in this way, Vishnudev, he had the best, Mother Ganga arranged the best tuition teachers. You know, the best in the universe, she had a great approach actually. in that sense. She knew all the best people and she arranged her son to be taught by these most eminent universal teachers. So therefore, Vishnudev was not just a great warrior, he was learned in every respect. You can imagine, the best of the professors in various fields of Vedic sciences, they were his teachers. That was the Vishnudev. So, as we know that how once Santanu
Maharaj, he was attracted by the Satyavati, who was the daughter of a fisherman. So, Shantanu Maharaj, he approached this fisherman and he requested the hand of his daughter. So the fisherman was extremely selfish nature. So he said, look, I can only give my daughter only if her children become the king. Only if her children become the king. But Bhishmadev is actually the prince, actually. He's qualified in every respect. Right? So then Shantanu Maharaj, he doesn't say anything, he just simply returns. But he was looking little dejected. Right? So a person's face, his activity, his mind can also be judged. It is said that actually only, you know, the Supreme Lord, you know, he has the capacity to bear unlimited amount of stress without showing anything on the face. He said when Lord Ram, who was about to be coronated, right, just like, you know, Bhishmadev is the prince now, Lord Ram was the prince, he was about to be coronated, when Kakai told him, you have to go to the forest and Bharat should become the king. Mr. Lord Ram, there was no dejection on his face. Right? Although he was thinking what will his mother, Kaushalya, she would think and everything, but still it said that Lord Ram maintained his composure completely as if nothing has happened. Right? Actually, no human being can do that, you know. When there is such a circumstance where, you know, the wheel turns 180 degree, it's not easy to maintain one's composure like that. Right? So, anyways, Shantanu Maharaj, he was looking dejected. So therefore, Devavrat, he asked his father, what happened, you know, and he just told him, said, but I cannot give such a promise or something. So Bhishmadev, he went out and told this fisherman that you give your daughter in marriage to my father and I promise that I will not become the king. Right? But then the fisherman was, you know, selfish beyond the limits. He said, what about your children? They will claim, you know. He was thinking, my grandchildren, the dynasty of king should be from my daughter only. Right? So he said, what about the children of my daughter? You know, they will be king, their children, then your children will later claim back. Right? So therefore then Bhishmadev said, okay, I take the vow that I will remain celibate, I will not get married. Right? So when Bhishmadev took these two vows, that he renounces the kingdom, right, which is actually the kingdom, the whole planet, and he will remain celibate, right? So all the demigods, they said, Bhishma, this is terrific vow, like no one can, you know, no ordinary person can take such a vow. So they all acclaimed kind of Bhishma, and therefore his known became Bhishma, who took a terrific vow. Right? So actually, we can't imagine the extent of the vow which Bhishmadev took, the extent of his selfishness. It's very difficult to comprehend. Because I'm just giving you one simple story. The place where I was living in my childhood, there were two neighbors, you know, and they both had very good big house. And there was a small passage between that house. So both claimed that this passage belonged to us. It was like 2 feet wide passage, 15-20 feet long, you know, very small passage. But both the owners, they claimed this passage belonged to me, this passage belonged to me. And for 10 years they fought the court case. You know, for a small passage, you know, they had big houses. But you know, none was saying, okay, you know, my young elder brother wants, let him have. Or my younger brother, you know, I will be affectionate. The younger brother could have thought, I will be respectful to my elder brother. If he wants to have, he can have. Right? So people actually can't spare even one farthing in one sense, you know. It's very difficult actually when a person is in possession, when a person is very possessive, it's extremely difficult to share anything. Right? But here is Bhishma, he just renounced the kingdom of the whole planet. Just imagine, it's not a small thing actually. You know, because we don't have, you know, we can't imagine the amount of sacrifice and selflessness it takes. Right? Just like Shyamananda Prabhu sometimes tell the story, you know. There was one priest who was preaching to one newly joined person, and he said, look, the whole earth, all the planets in the universe belong to God. He said, yes, right. All the hills, all the rivers, all the mountains, all the valleys belong to God. He said, yes, right. He said, look, all the, you know, this empire which is there, all the countries, etc., belong to God. He said, yes. He said, your flat belongs to God. He said, no. That is in the name of a wife, you know. That doesn't belong to God. You know, that is, so, you know, everything because doesn't belong to us, so it can be parted with, sure, you know. So therefore, Bhishma Dev, the whole kingdom of the earth belonged to him. He was the rightful heir, right? But for the sake of pleasing his father, right? He just renounced that. Right? And then what happened? When that happened, all the citizens, they started questioning. They started questioning, look, this is not right. Who knows, you know, what kind of son will be born to this daughter? Right? Whether he will be qualified to rule or not? You know, what will the fate of the kingdom, right? So everyone started cursing Shantanu Maharaj, that, you know, you are so selfish, that you are doing such and such, and you have made your son doing such sacrifice. But Bhishma Dev spoke up. He said, no one should criticize my father, because I myself has taken this vow. And then he took another third vow. He said, anyone who will sit on the throne, he will be like, I will see representation of my father in him. And I'll be here as long as I live. I will protect that person. You know, I'll be like his obedient person. I'll be like his obedient general. Right? So, I will make sure that the kingdom is not disrupted. Right? So basically he said, I will continue to render my services but not accept any posts. Right? He didn't accept any posts, but he said, but I will use all my abilities to make sure that the kingdom is well ruled. Right? So anyway, for his vows, we know how Bhishma Dev, his father, gave him the benediction that he will be able to choose the time of his death. He will be able to choose the time of death. So actually, if you see, you may think it's as good as being immortal, you know, in one sense. But actually, to give the boon of immortality would be a curse, actually. Because this material world is a miserable place, you know. A person will have to suffer for, you know, so long, right? Just like Markandeya Rishi had the benediction to live 7 kalpas, right? And he had to suffer so much, you know. It was not a It was a very life long, a very long life. So, but he gave him the time to choose, plan his death. Right? And Bhishmadev, he made the most appropriate use. Right? So only when Krishna, after the end of the battle, came, you know, and then Bhishma chose that time to leave his body. Right? So that, that he made the best use of that benediction. To be immortal would actually be a suffering, right? But using that benediction, he went back home, back to Godhead, right? At the most opportune time. Of course, he was blessed by Lord Krishna also, right? So, Bhishmadev, he was the most powerful warrior, you know. Actually, if you see Parshuram killed most of the Kshatriyas. You know, Parshuram was destroying most of the Kshatriyas. Bhishmadev is, I think, the only Kshatriya whom Parshuram taught, you know, except as a disciple. Otherwise, Parshuram is known as, you know, slayer of the, because the most of the Kshatriyas were deviating. Right? So, Parshuram taught him the military warfare. Right? So, he was the most powerful warrior. Even when he was very old, he was actually indefeatable. Right? He was actually indefeatable. So Bhishmadev, actually we will see from Bhagavatam, what's the perspective of Bhagavatam about Bhishmadev. Right? Mahabharata perspective is there always from, but Bhagavatam gives us the perspective that how Bhishmadev is a Mahajan because he knows ultimately the Bhagavad Dharma. Right? Dwadash ete vajanimo dharman bhagavatam bhata. Right? So, Yamaraja said these 12 people, they specially know this Bhagavad Dharma. Right? That means they know how to actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? That's the main thing. So we will discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9th. Many people, sometimes the question comes, you know, why should Bhishma have taken side of the Kauravas, etc., right? But we will see that he had to do that because of this vow given that he will remain loyal to any king while he is living, anyone who is on the throne, he will remain loyal just like he is loyal to his father. He will see the image of his father, you know, he will be as loyal as he is to his father, to any king. Right? So therefore he was bound by his duty. So, Bhishmadev, we see that how Bhishmadev, although he remained very steadfast in his duty, but still he did not fail to show affection to the Pandavas. Right? So he was duty bound. But when actually Yudhishthira Maharaj came before him, before the battle, and even Arjuna, they offered him obeisances. Bhishmadev blessed them with that you will be victorious. Right? He fought very valiantly. It is not that he blessed them to be victorious, he showed his affection. But still he did not give up his duty. He fought most valiantly on the battlefield. Right? He also was affectionate. Right? To the Pandavas. So therefore, Bhishmadev is actually he has very unique qualities, right, which is not usually found together, you know. That how he is the best among the Kshatriyas, but the best among the ascetics also, you know, who took a lifelong of celibacy and followed it, you know, even to the extent of he had to fight against his guru, who ultimately was pleased with him. Right? So we know there is a story of his fighting with Parshuram also. Ultimately Parshuram was pleased with him. Right? So he has this very rare combination. He is the best of the Kshatriyas, at the same time the great ascetic. Ascetic means actually, Prabhupada says in one of the purport, he was at the level of Brahm Rishi. You know, that means a great self-controlled sage. You know, has complete control over his mind and senses. Right? So that is Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev always had a affection toward the Pandavas. Right? He always expressed that affection, although he was duty bound. But he never failed to express that affection. So it is described that when the by the arrangement of the Lord, right, and as it was predestined also, Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, right, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj won the battle. So then Krishna, he asked Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas that they should now visit Bhishma Dev, and Krishna himself also accompanied, right. So it is mentioned over here, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very despondent at the end of the battle, right? Because he was so sensitive, he would, if like even one citizen would say, just see, you know, he has killed millions of people just to gain the throne. If anyone would utter, Yudhishthira Maharaj would not care to live. He was so sensitive to public opinion. Just like ideal King Lord Ram also, right? He was very sensitive, being very duty bound. So therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj would also not care to live, any citizen would have said that. Right? They just see what happened. Right? So therefore Maharaj Yudhishthira was very despondent. Right? And no one was able to pacify his despondency. So Krishna arranged that all the Pandavas, they should come. And Krishna told all the Pandavas, you all should dress very royally. You know, you should look the kings, you know, you should have opulence greater than Indra. You know, so that Krishna wanted them to come dressed as in all the kingly opulence, just so that Bhishma Dev will become happy. Right? So in order to, Krishna knew the heart of Bhishma Dev, that he always wanted his grandchildren to be extremely to prosper. Actually, he had affection. Right? So therefore, they all came before grandfather Bhishma, and Krishna also came. Right? And it's mentioned when they came, they all came and along with them came Krishna also, and they all offered obeisances to Bhishma Dev, and following Krishna, considering himself to be younger brother, also offered obeisances to Bhishma Dev. Right? So here it's mentioned, Dishtva nipatitam bhumo divaschatyamivamaram pranemu pandava bhishmam sanuga saha chakrina. Right? So seeing Bhishma lying on the ground like a demigod fallen from the sky, the Pandava king Yudhishthira along with his younger brothers and even Lord Krishna, sanuga saha chakrina, chakrina upholder of the Sudarshan chakra, they all offered obeisances to Bhishma Dev. So Prabhupada says, the Lord, although conscious of His supreme position, always behaved in a humanly custom, and so He also bowed down before the dying Bhishma Dev. Right? So this is one thing about the Lord's pastime. Whenever He appears, He plays the role of that particular species in whichever the Lord appears in a very perfect way. Because it increases the sweetness of his pastimes. Just give an example, you know, Lord Narsingdev appeared, you know, half man, half lion, right? So everyone was scared, you know. No demigod wanted to go close to him. Even Lord's own wife is so scared, you know, she's also standing far away. So if the Lord appears in human species in very extraordinary form and prowess, it will hinder the development of sweet relationship with the Lord actually, right? So therefore, in many pastimes, the Lord behaves just like a human being. Right? So this increases the sweetness of his pastime, and therefore, following that, the Lord bowed down to Bhishma Dev also. Then it is mentioned that now, when Pandavas came and Lord Krishna came, to see now Bhishma Dev, various rishis started coming. The rishis among the Brahmanas, Brahma rishis, Dev rishis, Raj rishis, they all started gathering at that place, right? Tatra Brahma rishaya sarve Dev rishayascha sattama Raj rishayascha tatrasin drashtum bharata pungavam. Right? So to see the chief of the descendants of Bharat Maharaj, all the various great sages and rishis, they started coming. Here is a kshatriya actually on the battlefield about to leave, and all the, you know, the great, the those who have compiled the dharmas and written various religious scriptures, they all started coming with their disciples. Right? It's quite amazing actually. How is that they, is the names are mentioned, who all came. Parvato Narado Dhammyo Bhagavan Badarayini Bhradashvo Bharadvaja Shishyo Renukasuta. Parvat Muni came, Narad Muni came, Dhammya, Bhagavan Badarayini, Vyasadev came there, Bhradashva came, Bharadvaja Muni came. And Parashuram came along with his disciples. Actually, all of them came with them, many, many disciples. Then Vashishtha Muni came, right? And then Indrapramada, Trita, Gritsamad, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautam Muni, Atri Muni, Kaushik Rishi, and Sudarshan Rishi. So all these great, and there is a bigger list actually, right? Even he said Shukdev Goswami came over there. Right? Kashyap Muni also came, Angira Rishi also came, and all of them, they came with many, many disciples. So suddenly they all started gathering, you know. So someone can ask, who informed them first of all, you know, and they didn't come from the planet Earth also. You said, you know, probably some WhatsApp message was sent in some way. They came from all the different planets, right? So how did they come to know, you know, they just started gathering, all of them together. Right? So we understand that there is a much more advanced system of communication. Right? They have a separate group, you know, which no one can just join and among themselves they have very high advanced communication. And Narad Muni is the facilitator of that, you know. Narad Muni has a very advanced system of communication. He can communicate throughout the world in a very short time. And all the great sages and rishis, they come to know that there is some important incident. Right, so it's the Narad Muni who has formed this WhatsApp group, right? And it goes to other planets also, you know. Even to the high planets like Brahmaloka also, till there the news reaches, you know, which is millions of light years away, you know. So like that. So from throughout the universe, this sages, they started coming actually, right, to witness this particular event, right, the leaving of Bhishma Dev, right. It's actually not a small thing, you know, for such great rishis to assemble, and it's not that, you know, they have been called to speak also, they are coming to just witness it, Like someone is invited to give some satsang program or something, then it's understandable, okay, you know, they have come. But they have just come to witness the passing of this great general. Right? So Prabhupada says, so these rishis, they all had great spiritual achievements. Right? And they all gathered to show their love and respect for this, for General Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada says in one of the purport. Yeah, Prabhupada says, Bhishma Dev was, this passing of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect and affection for the great soul. Right? So they came only for this purpose actually. They want to show their love, respect and affection for this great soul, Bhishma Dev. Because, as we shall see herein, that how Bhishma Dev, he is a great Mahajan. Seemingly he opposed the devotees, you know, being duty bound. But actually within his heart, he always carried out the will of the Lord. That is actually the life of Bhishma Dev. To carry out the will of the Lord, actually for Bhishma Dev was not easy. It was extremely difficult. Bhishma Dev had to actually, on his personal level, had to suffer so much actually. You know, he had to undergo lot of pain to see his beloved people, you know, being threatened to be killed, right? He himself in his personal life also, so he underwent actually extreme amount of painful condition and a lot of criticism also, you know, from many places, right? From various spheres. But he understood that this is the will of the Lord for me, and I have to execute it. Right? So Bhishma Dev executed the will of the Lord in extreme painful condition, very very awkward condition. But he remained steadfast on that particular, you know, his executing his duties and executing the will of the Lord. Therefore, he is actually a great Mahajan. Right? And therefore, all these great sages, you know, Parashuram, Vyasadev, they are all Shaktyavesh avatars of the Lord. Right? These sages are no ordinary person. Narad Muni is also considered as the Shaktyavesh avatar, who is the Shakti of Bhakti. So all these great sages, they all have assembled to show their love, respect and affection for Bhishma Dev. Right? So therefore, Bhagavatam is giving this perspective of Bhishma Dev's life. Right? So, they all of them, they have gathered. Tan sametan mahabhagan uplabhya vasuttamah pujyamas dharmagyo deshakala vibhagavit. Now so many great souls are coming. He is a dharmagyo. He always upheld dharma in his life. He is supposed to welcome them. But he is lying on the bed of arrows. You know, it's a very awkward condition, you know. You know, the Supreme Lord Krishna is coming, his beloved grandsons are coming, all the universal great sages are coming to him, and you know he would like to welcome them, but he is lying on the bed of arrows, right? But in that position also, pujyam as dharmakyo, he actually welcomed and worshipped everyone. Therefore he has been mentioned here as dharmakyo, pujyam as dharmakyo deshakal vibhagavit, according to the time, place and circumstances. So in this way, Bhishma Dev, he actually welcomed and worshipped all of them by offering heartfelt, sweet words of welcome, as were deserving to everyone. Right? So, he could not offer anything more than that. Right? But whatever was within his capacity, he offered that. Right? So, very heartily, with very sweet expressions, he actually welcomed all of them. In this way, they all were satisfied by that reception. It's quite amazing, you know. There was nothing physical to offer, but they still, all of them were actually satisfied by Bhishma Dev, who was Dharmagya, according to the time, place and circumstances. Right? So, Prabhupada says, very nicely Prabhupada writes, expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. All the great acharyas or religious preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. There are different climates and situations in different parts of the world. And if one has to discharge his duty to preach the message of the Lord, he must be expert in adjusting things in terms of time and place. Right? So it's a very beautiful purport. So Prabhupada says, Bhishma Dev was one of the 12 great authorities. Right? This verse we recited. He's the 9th in the serial number. So he is one of the 12 great authorities in preaching this cult of devotional service. And therefore he could receive and welcome all the powerful sages assembled there at his deathbed from all the parts of the universe. He could welcome them. And Prabhupada says, how did he welcome them? He welcomed them with sweet words, with hearty expressions. Right? By uttering sweet words, with hearty expressions, Prabhupada writes. Right? So, in this way, Bhishma Dev, he welcomed them all. Right? And and it's said that when they all came, and especially Krishna made the Pandavas just stand in front of Bhishma Dev. Right? So when Bhishma Dev saw the Pandavas dressed very royally, you know, in all kingly opulences, the tears came in his eyes. Right? The tear came in his eyes. So actually there are three kind of tears. Right? The tears of the three kind of people, they have a different effect. Said the tears of materialistic people, right, those who have material affection, sometimes they cry, which is based on bodily platform. What does that do? Tears of the materialistic people, it deepens their ignorance. It deepens their ignorance on the bodily platform. And then there are other category, the tears of Sahajiyas are mentioned in the scripture. Those who think devotional service is very cheap, the tears of the Sahajiyas wash away the Vedic conclusions. And then actually the tears of the devotees enriches their love for the Lord. Right? So therefore, here Bhishma Dev actually is not simply shedding tears on a bodily platform. Right? Krishna has brought the Pandavas in front of them. Right? He understands that here are the devotees of my beloved Lord, right? And now they are going to be the rulers of the kingdom. Right? So actually, these tears of the devotees actually enriches them with the great spiritual treasure, it has been mentioned. Right? It's very different than the tears of the materialistic people, because in one of the bhajans, it's mentioned that when Lord Nityananda Prabhu once see the tears in the eyes of a devotee, who remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives him the entire treasure of the spiritual world. Ek bar dekhle chakshe jal, ek bar dekhle chakshe jal, gaur bole nitai den sakala sambal. Right? So in this way, when one chants the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the feeling, Nityanand Prabhu, seeing that the person has affection or affectionate tears in his eyes, he gives the entire treasure of the spiritual world to that person. Right? So in this way, the three different people shedding tears have three different effects in this way. So Bhishmadev was extremely pleased by seeing the Pandavas. Right? So now Bhishmadev starts speaking to them. Bhishmadev understood that Yudhishthira Maharaj is very despondent. Even before Yudhishthira Maharaj would say anything, just by seeing the countenance of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishmadev understood that Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling very despondent because of such a very vast warfare and a huge massacre has taken place. Therefore, Bhishmadev himself starts speaking. He says, Oho kashtam oho anyayam yadyuyam dharma nandanah jivitum narahat klishtam vipradharmachyutashrayah. Said, Oho kashtam oho anyayam. So Bhishmadev said, what great terrible suffering you Pandavas underwent. Oho kashtam oho anyayam, what terrible injustices you yadyuyam dharma nandanah. You all suffered, although you are actually the son of religion personified. Right? All the Pandavas are headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is the son of Dharma and who perfectly followed Dharma. Right? Jivitum narhat klishtam. He said, actually you did not even deserve to remain alive under these tribulations. Your tribulations were so severe that no ordinary person could have remained alive. They would have long back died actually. But Vipra Dharma Achyutashraya, because you took shelter of the Brahmanas, Vipra, Dharma, for religious principles, and the Supreme Lord, therefore you were all protected. Right? So therefore Bhishmadev is, first of all, he is sympathizing with them. You all actually suffered so greatly, but you all are here in front of me because you have taken shelter of Brahmanas, religious principle, and the Supreme Lord Himself. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says, Bhishmadev wanted to point out that they are under the right shelter, and there is no cause of becoming despondent. As long as the person is sheltered actually, that he has taken the shelter of the right principles, there is no cause for him to become despondent. Right? So Bhishmadev points out that you always put principle before your pleasure. Right? You follow the principle, and most of the people, you know, they see whether following principles brings them some pleasure. If it doesn't bring, forget the principle. What brings pleasure should be done. Right? So that is the usual standard of people in this, you know, in this world. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is, Bhishmadev is saying, you all noble sons of Dharma always kept principle before your pleasure. Therefore, there is no cause for you to become despondent. Right? So this is a very beautiful teaching. So there are so many very beautiful lessons Bhishmadev teaches. Right? We are trying to study. This is actually Prabhupada again and again in this purport says that these are the words of one of the great authorities, you know, because these 12 are the great authorities of Bhagavad Dharma. Right? So they know the perfect Dharma, you know, they know how the ordinary Dharma culminates ultimately in Bhagavad Dharma. Right? How one can actually harmonize one's ordinary dharma with the Bhagavad dharma. Right? So therefore, Vishwamadeva is saying, no, there should be no question of any despondency. Right? So Prabhupada says in the purport, as long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principle, one has no cause for despondency. However trying the circumstances of life may be, right? There may be very extreme circumstances, but there is no cause of despondency for a person who has taken the shelter of these three principles as mentioned over here. Right? So, actually, if you see, Yudhishthira Maharaj also had a great affection for his grandfather. And Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma Dev was the eldest family member at that point of time. So Krishna brought Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas before him because now the eldest member of their family, who is a dharmagya, knows all the subtleties of all kinds of dharmas, he is saying, absolutely there is no cause of despondency. I am extremely pleased with you all. Right? So therefore, you know, Maharaj Yudhishthira having such faith and respect in Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev saying this, that actually brings great pacification in the heart. That the eldest member of our family who has himself taken shelter of all these principles in his life, never deviated from his duty, always carried out the will of the Lord, he is certifying. Right? So therefore, his words actually have a great weight and great meaning. Therefore, hearing this, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he actually becomes greatly pacified when Bhishma Dev says that. Right? So Bhishma Dev continues, he says, not just you suffered, although, now Bhishma Dev will also explain the cause. He said, not just you suffered, but my daughter-in-law Kunti, she suffered even doubly, twice than you all, because she became a widow in her young age, right? She suffered that, and then she suffered because of you all also, right? Because you all had to suffer, so naturally she also suffered with you all, right? So she suffered even doubly. So Prabhupada said, the suffering of Kunti Devi are doubly lamented, right? So, and then a very important question comes, which is actually very, very important principle Bhishma Dev has given. This principle is extremely important for all the devotees to understand. Right? Because sometimes, you know, hearing the suffering of Pandavas sometimes creates chill in, you know, practicing devotees, you know. That what will, you know, if I have to undergo, you know, a fragment of this suffering, I will surely, you know, not survive. Or is this the way Krishna deals with everyone? You know, because Pandava are the best of them. So will this suffering come to all the devotees, you know, in the disciplic succession? You know, all the devotees will have to suffer like that. You know, it's very, sometimes it's very terrifying actually. You know, hearing the suffering of the Pandavas. So therefore, one has to understand in the right perspective. Right? So Bhishma Dev is that great Mahajan who has given a very, very deep understanding of this, how one should understand the suffering in one's life. Right? So therefore, Bhishma Dev says, Sarvam kala kritam manne bhavatam cha yada priyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayur iva ghanavali. He says, in my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time. Sarvam kala kritam manne. I consider this is all done by the time. Sarvam kala kritam manne. That whatever apriyam happened to you, it is due to the time. And all the various planets, they are moving by the force of the time. Just as the winds, just as the clouds are carried by the wind, so everyone is being carried away by the force of this time. Kalen sarvatra ramhasa, the whole material universe, there is a force of time which is carrying everyone. So, what does that mean actually? I remember my uncle, one of my uncles, he was very strong physically and mentally. He would daily, in his 60s also, he would daily walk 4 to 5 miles and very healthy. Right? And suddenly one day he got a heart attack and he collapsed. You know. Then all the people, had come, all the relatives had assembled. And everyone just said, actually, it is Kaal. You know. Ki Kaal bahut balwan hai. Abhi kya kare, Kaal aa gaya, you know. Kaal ke aage kisi ki nahi chalti. Jab Kaal aa jata hai, so no human being can do anything. When the Kaal comes, then no one can do anything, and then one has to simply accept. Right? So is it Bhishma Dev saying the same thing to the Pandavas, it's the Kaal, when it comes, no one can do anything. Right? But it's a very common understanding. Every India, anything happens beyond control, then people pacify the relatives, Samay aisa aa gaya, Samay bahut balwan hai, or Kaal or Samay, people use this term actually. Samay ke aage koi kya kar sakta hai? Who can act against the force of the time, the Kaal, right? So is it that, but Krishna is with them, is Kaal powerful, even more powerful than Krishna? That is the question now. Said, Bhishma Dev is telling them, Sarvam Kaalam Vitam Manne. Is this Kaal more powerful than the Supreme Lord also? Right? So that point we have tried to understand. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says everything in this world is controlled by the Supreme Kaal, a forceful representation of the Lord within the material world. Thus, Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the action and reaction of time as long as one is within the condition of the material world. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas following the religious principles. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by the time despite being a true follower of religious principles. Okay, so, actually, the time acts differently for the materialistic people and for the devotees. Right? So herein, usually the time is the agent of karma for people who are always planning and desire to enjoy, materialistic people. Time is the agent of their karma. In due course of time, whatever they have sown will be reaped by them. Right? Forcefully. There is no choice. So therefore, time is that agent which brings, that force which brings the all the fruits of one's own karma to that respective person, right? So therefore, for the ordinary people, the time is the agent of their karma. But for devotees who actually have taken shelter of the Lord, the time refers to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For devotees, time is the personal plan of the Lord. Personal plan of the Lord. Right? So therefore, Bhishma Dev continues. We'll study this point little deeper. Bhishma Dev says, Yatra dharma suto raja gadapanir vrikodara Krishno sri gandivam chapam suhrit krishnas tato vipat. He said, Otherwise, how is it possible that there are such reverses in the life of Dharmasuto Raja? They were always following the religious principle. Therefore, there is no question of karma. So therefore, hey, time doesn't refer to the agent of their karma. When ordinary people talk that, you know, samay aa gaya, kaal aa gaya, it is because the kaal now brought the result of your own actions previously performed. Now you have to bear it. But he is saying, Bhishmadev, yatra dharma suto raja, you all are always situated in religious principle. There is no question of any previous karma also. Gada pane vrikodara, and you all have Bhima who can smash all the causes of trouble, you know. He had the power. She could smash anyone, all the agents of, you know, those who would bring trouble to them. And Krishno Sri Gandivam Chapam. Arjuna, he could shoot down all the troubles. Right? Like we call troubleshooting, you know. He was a real troubleshooter. He would actually shoot down all troubles. And Bhima could smash down all causes of troubles, you know. And they were taken shelter of Dharma. Not just that, Suhrit Krishna Tato, your well-wisher is the Supreme Lord. Tato Vipat still reverses. How is it possible, you know? Still so much reverses. Therefore, Bhishmadev says, you must understand that this is the personal plan of the Lord for you. Right? So, you know, when good people get glory, you know, people can understand. And when bad people suffer, then there is no confusion in people. Right? But when cross happens, you know, people see the, you know, bad people are flourishing and, you know, devotees are suffering, although the good people are suffering. Right? People just cannot reconcile, you know, in general. Especially then the devotees, you know, who are trying to render devotional service, live a life, dutiful life, following all the principles. Right? So, but still, it's very difficult to understand suffering. But Bhishmadev is explaining here. He is saying, just see that you, the Pandavas, they had the strength of piety. Just see their strength. They had the strength of piety because they were dharma, yatra dharma sto raja. Then they had the strength of body. Bhima is there. They have the strength of the skill. Arjuna is there. They had the strength of scriptural knowledge. Right? Vishnu Maharaj knew all the scriptures and they were guided by the Brahmanas. And they also had Krishna on their side. Right? So people sometimes think, you know, by if I have the bodily strength, I am skillful, I have the knowledge, everything, then I can counteract all problems. Okay? But tato vipat, right? With all the strength, still there are reverses. Right? So therefore, you must understand this is the personal pain of the Lord for you. Prabhupada says, despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons, under the supervision of Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can be only explained due to the influence of Kal, inevitable time. And then Prabhupada says, this Kal, in this case, indicates the inexplicable will of the Lord Himself. Inexplicable will of the Lord Himself. This is very important words. This is the Lord desired that His devotees suffer in this way. That is the plan of the Lord. And you may say, bahut khatarnak plan hai. This plan is too dangerous, you know. What else, you know? Tell the full plan. You know, how can we know the plan of the Lord, you know? What will happen? First the plan and then we will, you know, go ahead now. You know, in our Krishna consciousness. So the plan has to be fully revealed. You know, it's very dangerous plan. So Bhishmadev says, so a person may say, no, tell what all, you know, what other plans the Lord makes. Tell the full panorama of all the, you know, dangerous plans, you know. Therefore, he says, Bhishma Dev, nahi asya karhi chidrajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijyasaya yukta muhayanti kavayopihi. Bhishma Dev says, nahi asya karhi chidrajan. No one in this world, in this whole universe, the great learned people, the four-headed Brahma, the five-headed Shiva, none of them can ever understand the plan of the Lord. This plan cannot be understood. Muhyanti kavayopihi. The great scholars, they try to understand what is the plan of the Lord, what is the plan of the Lord. But they are unable to understand what is the plan of the Lord. Right? Therefore, Bhishmadev actually gives them very, very important teaching. He says, look, no one can conceive the plan of the Lord. You can't understand. No one can counter the plan of the Lord. You can't do anything about it also. First of all, you can't understand, you cannot conceive. You cannot counter the plan of the Lord. Then, what to do? Please cooperate with the plan of the Lord. You know, because actually that is the life of Bhishmadev himself. He's not just speaking like that. Bhishmadev himself, he wanted to, you know, always, you know, protect the Pandavas, you know, but somehow he was duty bound. He had to take the side of a dharma, right, against his wishes, in order to cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Right, in order to cooperate with the plan of the Lord. So Prabhupada explained in Bhagavad Gita how Krishna wanted to show that even the greatest general or warrior, if he take the side of dharma, he will be destroyed. Right? That was Krishna's plan. So in order to cooperate with the plan of the Lord, Bhishma Dev, he actually sacrificed and took lot and lot of pain. Right? You know, he may be criticized by so many people to taking side of dharma. In so many ways. But at all costs, Bhishma Dev cooperated with the plan of the Lord. Right? So therefore, everyone actually, even without, we cannot fully conceive, we cannot counter, we cannot do anything, but we have to cooperate. But we will understand. When we cooperate, then the plan of the Lord unfolds. It shows how that was the perfect plan, actually. Right? But first, cooperation is needed. We will not be able to fully understand that why this is happening, why that is happening. It's extremely difficult. But if we somehow, two things, if we remain faithful and grateful, two things, to the plan of the Lord, then we will understand that the plan of the Lord was perfect. Right? So Bhishma Dev is telling you, actually the Lord has his plan, and it's a master plan. What a Lord, by one act he accomplishes many things. Right? So Krishna, one of his plan, which we understand what kind of plan Krishna makes when Acharya is revealed, what is Krishna's intention? Krishna wants to show to the whole world that even in extreme reverses, my devotees will remain faithful and grateful to me. Right? They will not go against me. Rather, they will always seek my mercy. They will remain faithful, they will not criticize me. But they will also, not just faithful, they will even remain grateful for whatever happens in their life. Right? So therefore, although Pandavas are completely faultless, the Lord Prabhupada says makes them instrument to teach lesson. Right? So that's the plan of the Lord. And when a person cooperates with the plan of the Lord, so Prabhupada describes that for some time, there may be some suffering. Right? But then ultimately, the plan of the Lord may be scary in the beginning, but its sweetness will be revealed later. is a fact actually, you know. The plan of the Lord may be very scary in the beginning, but when a person cooperates with that plan, then the Lord bestows immense sweetness of loving devotional service to the devotees. Right? So the sweetness of the Lord's plan are not just revealed immediately. Right? So, and Vishnu Jagadish Thakur has given very beautiful understanding that, one may raise the question, you know, okay, the Lord wants to teach general people a lesson. But you know, to teach general people a lesson, why should he make his devotee suffer so much, you know? It's not good, you know. Of course, you know, you want to teach a lesson, you know, find some other way, you know. As making the devotee suffer so much means extremely, you know, they are extremely pious and everything. Aisa nahi karna chahiye unke saath. You know, Lord is, you know, omnipotent and he has all the potencies. He can surely find some other way, you know. To teach the people, you know, whatever lesson he wants to give. But devotee should not suffer so much. So Vishwanath Thakur reveal, while the Lord has his plan to teach a lesson, he has even a deeper plan for the devotees. He has even a deeper plan for the devotees. When he makes his devotees undergo some sufferings, like this we read. So it has been explained by Vishwanath Thakur that the Lord actually wants to bestow upon his devotees the tremendous sweetness of his loving devotional service, the sweetness of his loving reciprocation, the sweetness of his abode, right? And for that purpose, the Lord wants to increase their appetite to taste that sweetness. If you have like a whole nectarian feast, if you take some little bitter preparation in the beginning, it increases the appetite to relish the sweet. Actually, you know. So therefore, the Lord actually wants the devotee to taste this immense sweetness. But that sweetness will be tasted to the full extent only when one has a strong appetite. You know, if a person is not hungry, even in all the delicious preparation, he is not attracted actually. Right? So the Lord gives this suffering for a devotee to actually relish his sweetness to the full extent. This is a platform where a devotee can actually will get the maximum, you know, relishment tasting the loving devotional service, the reciprocation. So therefore, when even Kunti Maharani is saying, Vipada Santuta Shashva Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru, right? Please let there be more and more sufferings. Actually, she is saying, let you be with us always. Let you be, she is actually not asking for suffering as such. You know, that's like, looks like she is asking for suffering, you know, to the ordinary vision, but she is actually asking the association of the Lord. She is asking association of the Lord. Right? So, the Lord gives the sweetness of his association, his reciprocation, but only just to increase the devotees hankering to taste that, our Lord gives such suffering. So one should know this suffering is just one is suffering only so the person can enjoy a full feast. You know, like you're sitting for eating a feast and said, okay, please first have this little bit of bitter karela or shukta, whatever, you know, bitter preparation. And you taste, you said, my God, the whole feast must be like that. You know, don't conclude, you know, it is just to increase their appetite. Krishna actually wants to serve the nectarian feast. That is his purpose. So for a devotee, Krishna has actually a deeper purpose. He wants his devotee to fully relish. And this temporary sufferings increase the hankering of the devotees. Right? Increase their appetite. Right? and where it maximizes the relishing the actually the mellows of reciprocal exchanges between the Lord and the devotee. At that platform, the reciprocation takes place the maximum. So it just, this bitter treatment is just a platform for actually relishing the higher sweetness. So we should not be disturbed by us, you know, we should not just become so much disturbed, you know, at one bite of something bitter, you know. You know, the Krishna, the whole feast is awaiting. You know, we should not miss the whole feast, you know, thinking this is a bitter preparation, you know, and just run away. And just run away. So the whole feast, Krishna wants us to relish, you know, to the maximum extent. So that is a very deep purpose of the Lord for the devotees actually. And in doing that, Krishna also teaches that my devotees, what is their greatness? You know, that they always, under extreme circumstances also, my devotees are always faithful and grateful to me. Right? So, therefore Prabhupada explains in the purport. Prabhupada says, the bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthir over his past sinful acts and the resultant suffering is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma. He said, no, you are not suffering your past activities. Okay? Even Bhishmadev says, even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of the sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily for a short period of time, right? Because there is eternal bliss actually awaiting them, right? For a short period they suffered in order to establish the conquest of the virtue, right? So Bhishma was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of the virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhishthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Bhishmadev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord. Right? So Bhishmadev now is saying, just look at me. No one in this world can understand the will of the Lord. Right? No one can understand the plan of the Lord, but everyone can actually surrender to the plan of the Lord. So that's actually needed. That faith is needed, and then we will come to know that the Lord's plan was perfect, but not in the beginning. So Bhishmadev is saying, just look what kind of awkward circumstances I have been placed in. But somehow I just surrendered myself to the will of the Lord, and now the Lord has come here with you all. Right? So one who executes the will of the Lord, even though it is impossible to understand, when we are caught up in that, you know, when the Lord reigns some very tough circumstances, we can't understand the will of the Lord. But if we cooperate, then the Lord will actually come, just like he came for Bhishmadev. Right? So in this way, Bhishmadev is saying, just see the plan of the Lord is unfolding. Now that Lord, whose will I always surrender to, has come himself before me. So we should all just, without having any doubts, cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Right? It is the plan of the Lord that all this big massacre has taken place. You don't think that you are at fault. You have just simply become an instrument in the plan of the Lord. His plan is perfect, and it will be revealed in due course of time in your lives also. Just like it is being revealed to me now. You know, throughout the life, I had to undergo very, very great tribulations, but now the Lord has come for me. Right? So in this way, Bhishmadev revealed this very, very deep aspect that time actually, for the devotees, time acts, but it brings the personal pain of the Lord. But it's not that we can whimsically do anything and then we act against the scriptural principles, and we act as per our material hankerings, and then when we suffer, we say this is the plan of the Lord. No. He established that you are vipra dharma achyutashraya. When these three principles are followed, when a person actually is sheltered by, being guided by the brahmanas, following the religious principles and surrendered to the Lord, you know, he is executing devotional service in a surrendered mood, then whatever happens in his life, he has to accept the pain of the Lord and pray to the Lord that, my Lord, let me remain faithful and grateful to your plan. And then how that plan is perfect will be revealed only by the sweet will at the right time. Right? At the right time for the Lord. So the Lord revealed that, you know, now he is coming himself, you know, he had such a glorious opportunity Bhishma Dev had to live in the personal presence of the Lord. Okay? So Bhishma Dev in these teachings he reveals this very, very deep, important siddhanta for all of us to practice. And then he also says to the Pandavas, Eshava, Eshava Bhagavan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Maya Yalokam Gudasharati Vrishnishu. He said, Eshava Bhagavan Sakshat. Here is sending the Supreme Lord Narayan. Adyo Narayana Puman. Actually, he is the original Narayan. Right? Lord Narayan actually comes from him. He is the original, the source of Lord Narayan also. Right? So even this tattva, which is Prabhupada says, here is a Mahajan, again Prabhupada says, revealing Krishna to be the ultimate Supreme Lord, the source of even Narayan. Right? So it's actually, you know, we may have heard this siddhant so many times that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this siddhant is one of the great jewels from the ocean of siddhants, is mentioned. Prabhupada says, the jnanis, they speculate for millions of lifetime and then they come to this conclusion. Right? And even Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Shri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balopi Yadanugraha Tarena Nana Madgraha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. In this world, there are so many scriptures and so many Siddhantas, you know, so many Babas, Yogis, and they have all established their different Siddhanta. So he says, there are so many, there is the ocean of Siddhanta, Siddhanta Sagaram, you know. And there are many crocodiles and whales. You know, one person trying to search Siddhanta, he will surely be devoured by one of them. He will not find the true jewel. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a child can deeply dive and he can get the most valuable Siddhanta, jewel of all, which is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a Siddhanta which takes millions of lifetime of speculation for the jnanis to obtain. This is not an ordinary actually thing. So we see how Mahajanas like Bhishma Dev and following in his footsteps, Prabhupada gave these most valuable jewels of Siddhanta even to the children, you know. Prabhupada would ask Saraswati, who is Krishna? And she would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Surpassing all the yogis who, you know, who would actually be searching after the truth. At the great sages and the long beard babas, you know. This small child, by the mercy of the Mahajanas, can actually get the most valuable jewel of Siddhanta. Right? So therefore, we are always indebted, you know, to the great souled Mahajanas. And in our life, Prabhupada is one of the great Mahajans. Right? He has perfectly presented all the conclusive truths, you know, of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, for us to understand and practice in our life. Right? It's given us many, many blessings actually, so that we can. Bhishma Dev had to follow the plan of the Lord in extreme circumstances, but Prabhupada wills we have very conducive circumstances actually. What we sometimes consider extreme is the creation of the mind only, you know. But most of the time we have most convenient circumstances, little thing here and there, you know. But we are greatly disturbed, you know. Imagine the condition of Bhishma Dev, you know. Under what circumstances he surrendered to the will of the Lord, he cooperated with the plan of the Lord, right? And he spoke about it in a very profound way. So we will offer our respect to all the 12 Mahajanas. We will together recite this verse. Sambhurnaradaha Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Palado Janako Bhishmo Balirvaya Sakhirvayam. Jai Shri Bhishmadev ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, ek announcement.